Well, I guess we're live. What's up, everybody? It's episode 4 of the Weekend Hangover with Ricky, Bobby, and myself.
Let's go.
Dude.
Yeah.
What an awesome weekend of racing.
Oh, my God, dude. You fucking made me sit there and made me watch Moto 3.
Gotta watch it all. Dick. No, I didn't. No. We always agreed that we weren't going to watch Moto 3 because it was just going to be too much. Too much racing.
Yeah, well, I ended up watching it. And you know what? I'm not sorry I did, because I got to see I got to see the two. Was it Ortola and I forget the other dude's name.
Yeah,
but they crashed each other out, and then Ortola tried to get on his bike and shit, dude.
Hey, so how have you been since our last show? What have you been up to?
Well, I've been trying to sell the track days, which has been going pretty well. I've got it next Friday at Button Willow.
Yeah, dude, was that your 20 people?
No, that's not the Gucci day.
Okay.
No, the Gucci day, right? Yeah. No, that's a standard track day. Event. It's April 26th, and the A group and the B group are completely sold out with waiting list.
That's awesome.
I'm stacking up C group riders right now. The event might actually sell out, bro.
That's awesome.
Stoked on it.
It's great. How's the weather looking? Because you've been sad pictures of Saturday rain,
dude. It's so shitty on the weekends, but it's super nice. Like right now, now is like perfect time to go ride bicycles.
Come Saturday, the rainy cloud comes in.
Yeah, the clouds come in, there's shit on us, right?
Yeah,
but yeah, the other thing is that, obviously I was with the TAC last week for the final preseason test.
Yeah, how did that go?
Dude, I told you before, man, I was like really worried about Cam Peterson, you know?
Yeah.
Like the dude has like no luck.
I
his right hand and his wrist is so dog shit. It's like he's had the worst luck. Suddenly, dude, like he comes out and he looks like normal.
Really? Oh, that's awesome. Dude. That's great.
I don't know. He must have done I'd have to double check paperwork, but I think he did 40 laps or something day two.
And consistent times.
And he was murdering.
That's
like
awesome.
Absolutely That's murdering. So yeah, nice. it was pretty sweet. It was pretty sweet to see it.
We got it.
And
big weekend this weekend, so he's gotta show up.
100%. Yeah. I mean, fuck you. I mean, I guess we could talk about the weekend coming up at the end, but
definitely.
Yeah. So baggers.
Yeah. I got to finish up because I have my track day.
You did your track
day.
Yeah,
I did my track day on April Fool's, right? At Roebling. Yeah. We had out of the 30 slots, because we do Gucci days here because Roebling's super cheap on a Monday. We had 35 people show up, had my buddy Kyrie brought his Hooligans bike, which was quite the noisemaker, dude. That thing is so loud.
What kind of Hooligans bike was it?
It was a FTR 1200.
No shit.
Yeah. The thing was, he had the handlebars flipped around and upside down. Like,
of course.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. And he was out there turning laps on that bike. And then we had a couple first timers, which was great.
Yeah.
Dude on a Triumph Tiger rolled out.
Triumph Tiger.
Yeah. Wow. He lives here in town. He showed up with this, very, very, very expensive bus with a very nice aluminum car trailer, and then this Tiger on the back, Tiger 900. So,
dude, you know what? That's
awesome.
That kind of stuff goes to prove that that you don't have to have like the latest, greatest sport bike on slicks or whatever to come out to the track day, you know? We had a dude one time roll up on a Super Tenere.
Dude, that's awesome.
What? Right,
we had a Street Triple RS to demo, which is a great bike to ride around on the track, just ripping it up. And then we had a Trident 660, which was the kind of the similar motor as the new Daytona, but not as fast, but still great bike. And a lot of people were loving it and just having a good time. So, and it was a beautiful weather, it was amazing weather. And of course, I got to rip around on my 675R race bike and got. Started
and it didn't blow up.
It didn't blow up. Nope.
What?
Didn't blow up.
That's like the Ricky Bobby curse, isn't it?
I know, right? No, it was.
Wait, you didn't build this one? Okay.
Godin built it. Yeah. Okay. No, I didn't build it. But yeah, man, no,
and you shaved off your porn stash.
It's gone. It's after March 31st. So yeah, porn stash is gone. Had duty this weekend, military duty. So had to clean shave, Saturday and Sunday, but now back at it, growing the beard out for a little bit. And, yeah, but, yeah, ready for, King of the Baggers, man,
dude.
Holy moly. Okay.
I didn't watch the practices and stuff, but I did watch the four lap, whatever, dash for cash thing.
Yeah.
Dude, when did baggers become a full contact sport, bro?
Dude, when $5,000 is up for grabs.
I guess, dude. Wyman versus Bobby.
Yeah, dude. Bobby's hanging it out there, man. There is no love lost on that between them and Bobby's out there for blood, dude. He's got that Roland Sands bike, which looks sick. I like the colors of that bike. The flat black.
Those guys, their whole program is so cool. And, you know, they've come out, they've tested with the Attack Boys a couple of times. They went to Button Willow and they went to Podium Club with the race team. So
Did they bring the Hooligans bike too?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. It's no, yeah, player. At Button Willow they did. They had a Hawk Mazota there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because he's on the Hooligans bike. Yeah. Sweet.
And so anyway, so that's
whoa.
Yo, I got a porn stash. I got a porn stash.
Look at this guy.
Oh,
he just jumps in.
I know.
What's up, everybody? So just a heads up, our special guest is obviously this guy. You probably don't recognize him because he's got like kind
of a porn stash.
And
I just gave it to him.
He's got like a fro underneath that Motul.
I was watching, yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, dude, Rocco thank you Landers. So much for coming out and hanging out for the weekend hangover.
And he just jumped in right at the perfect time too, because we're talking shit about Bagger. So it's like perfect, right? So Rocco, I don't know if you were listening, but I was talking about. Okay, so sweet. You can answer this. When did baggers become a full contact sport?
I guess at COTA. I mean, there's a couple times in testing when we were riding, we were, Hayden gave me a lot of crap about it, but I looked back mid corner cause I didn't realize the guy in front of me was going to be going as slow as he was. Cause there was just this random track day guy and I fully rear ended him like mid corner going for his hairpin. And so after that Hayden, bro, I did not live that down for about at least
Did the guy fall down?
No, I hit him. He just bobbled and went off track, and like the bike's so heavy, my bike's so heavy that nothing even happened. I just kept going.
Okay. Yeah, that's I mean, dude, you're at a track day and you're trying to kind of look around, dude, because stuff's happening and you're on a big ass bike, so you got to like kind of keep you on your toes. And track day guys, man, sometimes it'll be squirrely, dude. They're not racers, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We were talking about the baggers, you know, the Dash for Cash race was four laps, right? And it's like the top six goes in.
I think it's two laps.
Was it two laps?
Maybe this past weekend was three because MotoGP, but normally it's two.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know why I thought it was four. Maybe I was not paying attention.
No.
Like, I'm not trying to be Greg White over here, okay?
No. Please don't.
We watched the races and it was exciting. I mean, it was, but it was like the Troy Herfoss show, right? I mean,
dude,
he was rolling.
That guy is a fucking murderer, right?
He knows how to ride that bike. That's for sure.
Yeah, dude.
In a very short amount of time. Very
short. Yeah, I think he only tested two or three times, or maybe less.
Yeah, yeah. Not a lot. I mean, you've tested it quite a few times and trying to wrap your head around that bike.
Yeah, I tested it. I tested twice and I raced it twice now too. So
yeah, and you learn a ton racing it.
Oh my god, yeah, way more than testing.
So have you found, like, I mean, just from the couch, right? Just from the couch, that class looks super stacked, dude. Like talent wise,
it's a lot.
There's a bunch of axe murderers in that class. Am I crazy to think that?
I wouldn't say you're crazy. I mean,
you're in the class and you finished like seventh, right? Like,
yeah, I know. Appreciate that, but no, there's a lot of fast guys, and it's not like it's It's so close too. Like,
yeah,
they're all like, it's like a Moto 3 race. It's wild.
Yeah, those top six, like it took a little bit for the gap to start to spread out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, yeah, you could just tell those guys were just, they had their bikes dialed in. They were starting to chug away. And then you, yeah, Travis, Corey,
so
who else?
What,
Max.
Like, am I crazy? Like, what happened race one where Herfoss wasn't in the lead till later in the race?
I can't remember. I didn't watch all of race one.
Okay.
I rewatched race two.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because
I think,
because it was
he got bumped O'Hara, out on the first
like,
lap.
O'Hara
was, yeah, leading. I was gonna say, I think he had something happen on lap one.
Yeah, yeah. So O'Hara was leading, and you know, Kyle Wyman did the not today, pal, pass on him, and it looked like Kyle was gonna be like, peace out, bitches. And then,
yeah,
Herfoss just ran him down, was like, nah, mate. Right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was quite the race, man. And then Bobby's in there, Fonger's throwing haymakers all over the place. And then
Bobby is like the guy that shoots for the fences every time at bat.
Dude, it's so sketchy to watch when he's in front of you. Oh my god, it's awesome. It's so fun to watch.
I mean,
it's like a front row seat.
There's a bunch of times during the race where like you could see smoke on the TV, like
just skirting into there. Oh my god,
like. I had a couple of the track days guys here at the house watching it, and we're like, dude, is somebody blowing up? No, dude, I think it's just
Bobby. No, it's just Bobby.
Yeah.
It's just Bobby bobbing, I guess.
Sent it into turn one on the second race after he passed Rispoli.
Dude,
and,
in morning warm-up on Saturday, I went out behind him, and because I had a trash Friday just setup-wise. Like, I'm still adapting to the thing, and I was just struggling. We ended up finding, like, I cut the gap down from like 3 seconds to like 1.2 in warm up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's huge.
And I go up behind Bob, and he and I were like I want to say I was a half second or a little more, a little less, can't remember, somewhere off of him. And he gets by me, and I see him going to one, and I'm like, okay, his bike just blew up. Nope.
I just
think he's smoking off. It was wild. I'm sure. Herfoss said the same thing. He said the thing just looks like when he was behind me in quali, he said it never looked like it was remotely straight in line. And that's those bikes are just they're so long, but it makes all the slides so stable, which is it's pretty fun.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, that's not really Bobby though. That's like Fender Rhodes. This is heavy bike, son.
Fender Rhodes.
that's what his crew guys call him.
Oh man, that's
really? Call him
Fender Rhodes. Yeah, it's like a character on some Ocean's 13 movie or something.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Don Cheadle's got like the Evel Knievel outfit on.
Yeah,
and he's trying to sell
Ocean's.
And
12.
He's like, is it Ocean's 12? I don't know. Whatever.
Or no, 13. You're right.
I think it's 13. 13. Yeah, yeah, and he's like, this is heavy bike, son.
Yeah. That's right.
So, like, in all the tests, all the preseason tests, when he rode the bagger, that was his name on timing.
That's funny,
bro. And it says actually. Bagger Bob on his butt patch. It's sick.
He's so fun.
I love Bobby. He's awesome.
No, so I wanted to ask you, like, now you've got two races under your belt. How is it riding the bike? In comparison,
it's getting better. It's a work in progress. I mean, I'm about as far off of them as I was at this point when I started racing Super Sport.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, if I did really well, I'd be under a second. Normally it was somewhere between 1 to 1.5. On a bad day, it was like 2 seconds off. I mean, it's just a work in progress. It's not it's nothing that will come immediately. The team and I are figuring each other out and learning the language that we can use to expedite the process of bike setup and just getting to know each other, because it's still new. I mean, I signed with them. It's my first year with Vance and Hines, so.
Are you enjoying it? That's what I'm really getting at. Like,
the
bike itself, getting to ride this 630-pound bike, trying to manhandle the thing around as compared to riding the twins, you know, the SV and the Aprilia and all the other bikes. Like, where does it stack up in, like, fun factor? Raceability.
It's cool. I mean, it's similar. Like I told Dustin, it's similar to a supermoto bike. Like I've been riding my suit. I was actually, I, I'm, I kind of just parked on the side of the road right now because I'm driving back. I was driving back from supermoto practice today.
Yeah.
So like I flew in, I got back to my house at 2 a.m. and then basically just packed my stuff up. And my boy Romeo Chiavini, he's in Twins Cup as well. And he and I went to the kart track. I'm actually at his apartment right now, just parked.
That's awesome.
We're going to chill later.
Get your supermoto in the back of the truck.
Yes. That's awesome.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, Rocco, we got a couple of fan comments here already. They're asking Abraham Balderas wants to know how do you think the bagger would do it ORP?
ORP, that'd be awesome. We're back to ORP. Let's go.
Yeah,
we'll have to talk to Terry, see if we can do a test, an official test there.
Yeah. Ask Terry about that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure he would say yes, but I would say
Proto,
yes.
Proto is talking about Ricky's Bobby shaving his stash. So, yeah. Anyway, so baggers.
Uh huh, dude. I in race two. See, I was like for the first lap or so, I had like three quarters of a lap. I went like in turn one. Like I went with the leaders and I stuck with them until we got to the back straight. And then they pulled like half a second. Then I had this moment coming off the back straight where the thing just got kicked out like super deep.
Oh yeah.
Like as I was tipping in and I lost like another quarter second, like at that point, cause I lost like a half second on the straight.
Yeah.
And then I got like lost a little bit of time. And so it was sitting right about three quarters of a second. Cause that was why the second pack caught back up to me. And then, like, I wish they would have got it on camera. Holy shit, bro. It was so scary. Coming through the long right, the thing, like, as I tipped in, it fucking D-cell stepped out like that.
Oh.
Dude.
Your pants.
It carried for so long. It just went like this. And just no throttle, no nothing. And just because you can't get on the throttle because it'll just step out more. So it's just carrying. I'm like hoping it'll snap back. And Kyle Onsorg was behind me. And I talked to him after the race. He was like, dude, I thought you were just dead. Because it carried for a solid 30, 40 yards where it's just like.
Was that the, was that the super long right-hander that goes around like the
yes.
Like the Hayden?
Yeah, right as I turned in, it just.
Oh, man.
And then. I was just like basically modulating the throttle to keep the thing just kind of in line because if I kept letting it decel, it would have just. But if I'd given it enough throttle, it would have spun around. That was so scary. And I went to my mechanic didn't see it because it wasn't on camera. And I saw it to my throttle. I was like, bro, I just saved you like 7 hours of work because that would have been bad. It was it would have been fast.
He would have had to buy a new bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a like because I know the like the Moto 2 guys they like short shift going through there and they're just all the way around the corner.
I was noticing that the baggers are, I mean, a lot of the guys, like Kyle especially, they're sideways everywhere on them.
Oh my god, everywhere,
dude, gnarly. Like it looks like the thing just loads up on the front under hard braking and then the rear just kind of does whatever it wants to do.
Well, it has so much engine braking and because of the weight of the front end, like you can't only use the front brake and like trail in. If you want to trail, you have to use a little bit of rear brake just to pull some of the stress off the front end. And that's something that I've been dealing with because I like since testing, I'm using way too much rear brake. Like that's why I like. If you watch, like my bike is more out of shape going into the corners than probably anyone's, except maybe Bob's. but it's too much, and I'm losing a lot of time on tipping just because I'm my bike is just so out of shape that it doesn't. Like I spoke to Troy after quali, and like I said, he was like, you just like the moment he's like the moment you get on the brakes, the thing just starts fishtailing, and I'm like.
You're like, okay, so it's not just
trying
me.
Something.
No. Yeah.
But it's everyone's bikes are doing that. Mine was just doing it a little too much because I was giving it too much rear brake.
Yeah.
Well, that's just like the bike is so heavy and
you're
just launching into the corner and the thing just wants to come around because there's so much weight behind you. You've got the bags and everything's wanting to move side to side.
Mm-hmm. Just have the crew throw a couple more cases of Diet Coors in there. It'd be good to go.
Give it a little more weight. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's grip. Yeah, exactly. But it's just going to come with time. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I suspect I'll be within the next 1 to 3 races. I should be with the leaders for more of the race.
Yeah.
Closer to Hayden. I mean, I don't see why I wouldn't be able to at least get close podiums and maybe race one by the end of the year.
So there's a couple more comments coming in. You know, Chunky Buns. On the bagger, she wants to know.
Is that TDJ? TDJ?
Yeah,
so she wants to know which track are you most looking forward to on the bagger?
On the bagger?
I know it's going to be Brainerd. It should be like Road America, Brainerd. But it's probably
Brainerd. No, Brainerd. Brainerd.
Of course,
by Brainerd.
Because you murder everybody at Brainerd on every.
I mean, I didn't last year. I got second.
Well, yeah. And then Rick's Picks wants to know how different are your bagger and Hayden's bagger?
Almost the same. I mean, the bike specs are exactly the same. Setup is very, very, very similar.
Right on. Well, there you go. So
he's got the dad bod setting.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, it's the bagger. So it's
exactly.
Mechanical grip.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. So race two. I mean, it was basically the same level of excitement this time, but this time, Kyle did that whole not today, pal shit to
turn one.
I was like, wow, dude.
Yeah.
It was sketchy, bro. There was so little grip in race two. Oh my God. Like, it was so greasy.
I didn't think he was going to make it with the flip-flop into two. I thought Troy was going to come around the outside of him, but Kyle stuck it on the inside and he couldn't get by. I was like, oh, dude. And then he dropped a lap record on the last lap.
Yeah.
That was mental. There, like that. I rewatched race two. That was a good race to watch. I mean, again, I wish I would have been a little further up and we'll get there, but that was a very, very, very enjoyable race to watch. Because he's like, for the first few laps, like we at least got some of the Moto 3 action, I should say.
Yeah,
but oh my God, that last lap! Like you ever watch? Like you know how you watch someone like doing a lap, and you're just like, "Bro, that is a perfect lap right there." It was like I watched that. I was like, oh, "Dude, that's beautiful to watch."
He almost blew turn. I mean, pretty much blew turn one.
Oh yeah,
still made it. Like imagine if he would have actually hit turn one.
Dude,
he's too tense right
now. Yeah,
I think it's. Honestly, dude, I mean, seeing Kyle in the paddock for so many years, and now that he's like a factory guy now with the Harley thing, dude, he's absolutely killing it. And
he's
got a big smile on his face now instead of that angry scowl. Then he's not looking down as he's walking down the paddock now. He's walking around like he's
That weight was all the debt he was carrying for the race.
I mean, he was
carrying so much debt for the whole year.
Rocco, what do you think of like it seems like they're really playing up that whole classic, you know, 100-some-year-old rivalry with Harley and Indian?
I mean, yeah, there's definitely a rivalry, but I don't think it's between riders at all.
No. It's just the fact.
I mean, obviously Harley and Indian is like, I don't know. It's like Formula One where it's like, definitely Harley wants to beat Indian India wants to beat Harley. I want to beat Indian, but I also want to beat. I mean, I want to beat everyone. I want to beat Hayden, even though Hayden's my teammate and he's a good friend of mine.
Right.
I want to beat everybody. It's nothing personal towards anyone. Like, would I like to see Hayden do well because he's my teammate, he's my friend? Yes, but I mean,
You mean like finish one position behind you?
my goal is to always be first, and if Hayden can. But if I don't win, I mean, obviously, I want to see my teammate do super well.
Yeah, exactly.
So, this coming weekend, you're going to race both bikes, right?
Yeah.
Race the Bagger and the Twins Cup bike.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Atlanta is my favorite track for the Twin. So,
okay.
Brainerd's good, but I can't use my advantage in the first sector quite as much.
Who is your least favorite Bagger racer to be nearer to on the racetrack and race? And why?
They've all been pretty nice to me. They're easing me into it.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't been hit off track yet. So everyone's my favorite.
There's no hazing going on where they just
no hazing yet. I'm worried that once I get up there, shit's gonna start.
There's no welcome to the Thunderdome yet.
Yeah. Right on. All right. Awesome. So Rocco, did you happen to watch the GP races too?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
All right.
Yeah, I was chilling in one of the hospitalities.
Okay.
And it was kind of funny. I mean, it wasn't really funny. It was kind of sad. But when Marquez went down, Arenas and his one of his buddies was chilling there. He just starts like, he was so upset.
Dude, you can hear on TV.
It was wild. You could hear it. It was like
cheering. Like you could hear when Marquez crashed in mm-hmm. the race. Like you could hear people cheering.
See, I don't get that. Like it doesn't. Like I don't know how. My thing is, I don't get how anyone, whether they're a fan or another rider, how can you have such strong dislike for somebody whether they race? Like you've never met them,
right?
Like it's just like haters make no sense to me because most of them have never met the person who they're hating on, and like right. if they could have a great conversation with them,
right? I mean, did you see that story? They had this whole thing like before the race, like, you know, Marquez brought some kid up on the stage and was like,
yeah, they see. I mean, I haven't spent much time with him.
But my wife was like, oh my God, that's so sweet. You know, it's like,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They're all normal dudes. Like,
yeah.
Would I prefer some to win than others? Sure. Do I dislike, I wouldn't even really say I have a favorite necessarily in GP. I'd like to see them all do well.
Like as a fan, I wouldn't say that I dislike the dude. I kind of more dislike the bros.
The bros that think
he's the GOAT.
Oh, well, I mean, he's really good, but one of the best, but still, like,
he's not the GOAT.
Like, I would say I was almost a Marquez hater for a couple. But like, when someone wins constantly. You start wanting to see other people win. It just happens naturally. So, yeah. I mean, I wasn't really like, well, there was nothing towards like a lot of people have like personal issues with people when they've never met.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I look at it.
Makes
like,
no sense.
I've had I really liked Marquez in the very beginning, but
yeah.
The Rossi Marquez thing started coming out. I saw a lot of the underlying stuff come up, yeah. especially during 2015. Where I got a very sour taste in my mouth for Marquez. So like,
yeah,
when he,
a lot of people
when,
did
when he, even throughout the years and stuff, it became like this thing where he's just so, I don't know if it's his arrogance, but it's like, he is always has to be in front. He's going to do whatever he can to get in front. He's going to bash people left and right and get there.
Yeah. It's a lot of that. He's going to have a lot of that with him.
And then
like, how many dudes is that guy taken out?
It's a good point. I've maybe had one conversation with him ever.
Yeah.
But from friends of mine who actually know him, like he apparently like away from the track, one of the chillest dudes. There's some things he does do at the track that I'm not really a huge fan of. Like with the following people when they're trying to do qualifying laps, it's like,
hate it.
Like, what are you doing? Ugh. I put myself in his shoes and their shoes is what I try to do. It's like,
yeah.
Do I want to go out in baggers and just have anyone like specifically trying to make my qualifying suck? No. Am I going to do that to anyone? No. Like,
no. And if you
do, I want anyone to do that to anyone? No, because it's stupid.
If you just happen to get behind somebody and get a good lap, great. But
exactly.
When you're trying to
force
it every time. And get in the head.
Yeah,
at Rocco sounding all mature and shit.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like it's common sense though. Like,
no,
but even like I'll go out behind somebody, and if they don't want to give me a tow, it if they just kind of put their hand up, I'll go by. But yeah. I'm also not going to give them a tow. Like, I choose who I'm going to give a tow to and who I'm not going to give a tow to. It's impossible to get a tow off of me if I don't have any willingness to give you one.
Yeah.
But it's also
like, stop on the stinking track and
yeah, like what the heck?
And right.
Makes no sense.
Me nuts. And that's where it's like frustrating for me and why I as a hater. Just
Bobby's the hater in this.
I am. I am
tonight.
I actually
not
said
me.
On TDJU. TDJU. I said he saved all his crashes for the race because he didn't crash at all during any of the practices.
I did predict that he would crash. I told my wife before the race started, I was like, okay, here's what's going to go down. I think Vinales is going to be near the front, and I think Marquez is going to be on his face.
I was talking to Kensei Matsudaira on Saturday, and he was like, who should I put on my fantasy? And I'm like, okay, Maverick's going to win. Like, I literally predicted it perfectly.
Wow.
Maverick's going to win. Acosta's going to get second.
Wow.
And then I was like, Martin.
Yeah.
That was my guess. Well, I can't even remember.
No, he didn't. He got fourth.
He got fourth. Who was third?
Enea, yes.
Okay, so yeah. I was wrong. But I said Maverick's gonna win. And then when the race started, Ken was like, nah. I was like, bro, Maverick's late race is better than anybody's. Like,
yeah.
If you watch his races from when he was on Yamaha, like, he would be 8th, 10th on lap one, and then all of a sudden lap 15 rolls around, he's leading, he's like checking out from everybody.
You're referring to his like first three races at Yamaha, and then the rest of the season he qualified on pole and sucked balls in the
race. It's always the first three or four races of the season when he was on Yamaha.
Yeah. Like, that dude's been like captain qualifier. I was gonna ask, like, where the fuck did that guy come from? Because that guy pretty much is shit during the races until
I wouldn't say shit. I mean,
until like a week.
No, it's not easy to be
a MotoGP rider.
I'm just saying, like, he didn't look like he.
Not that I know what it's like.
He didn't look like somebody who deserved a MotoGP ride until like 2 weeks ago. He had like a couple of good races here and there, but for the most part, he was in the back, dude.
I don't know. I think to be a MotoGP rider, like, you look at Quartararo, that dude is going through some stuff right now. Like, 100%. It's so sad to watch.
But what I'm saying is Vinales was that dude.
Because, like, you know how well Quartararo would be doing on really proper machinery.
Yeah. And like all the Hondas, they're all.
Same. It's like Mirror. A world champion. It's
two world champions in the back, dude.
Yeah. It doesn't, like, that's not showing the riders. That's just development that has to happen with those bikes.
And then, like, Vinales' teammate who was running Aleix near the front, Aleix, dude, like, where was he?
But it's a lot of things are set up. Like, some people do better at different, like, it's hard to predict what's happening with people because there's so many things that happen behind the scenes.
For sure.
What's cool about MotoGP right now is it's like you can watch a race, and before the start of the race, you don't really know who's gonna win.
No,
it could be Martin.
That's true. It doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly.
Like, back in the day, like, I mean, fuck. Yeah. There's like four or five dudes right now that it could be. You don't even know.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
totally agree.
I think that's pretty cool. Even though I do see a lot of, I see a lot of commentary about how I hate MotoGP because it's the Ducati Cup.
It's not.
Yeah, so
Aprilia just won it.
Aprilia just won. Gas was second, and Ducati were second, third. I mean, third, fourth, and fifth. But still,
Gas like a KTM, right? Or
what? It's just a KTM.
Yeah, it's KTM. Yeah.
Gas, Husqvarna, and KTM are all the same bike.
Yeah,
it's different branding.
Because KTM and Moto2, they run a Calix, and then Moto3, Gas, KTM, and Husky are all KTMs basically.
Yeah,
right. And then and CF Moto. So CF Moto, Gas, Husky, and KTM are all the KTMs.
Well? Really?
What? CF Moto? Yeah, it's KTM? That's the Aspar bike.
Oh yeah. The Moto3 bike.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much MotoGP. I don't know. I mean, what do you think of like the struggles of Pecco this weekend?
I mean, you can't put your finger on what's happening unless you're there. Like, I couldn't really make any predictions at all.
I mean, they didn't really show him on TV much, so it's like...
Well, if you have... I mean, some people have rough weekends. I've had plenty of rough weekends myself.
Yeah, or
you're just not... Like, you're just having issues. That you're kind
of... He got a bad batch of barbecue at Terry's? No?
No, I think that he's struggling a little bit in the beginning, and he'll catch his stride.
For sure. I mean, he's a world champion. He's a two-time back to back world champion.
And he
came on late.
Also, like with Pecco, I mean, again, you can't like sometimes people have weekends. I'm sure you've had this as well, Dustin. Like, where you just feel like you're chasing your tail all weekend.
Yeah, dude.
And you don't like maybe. I mean, I can't. I could never predict what a factory Ducati MotoGP is dealing with, but. Like all I can say is I've had weekends where it's like I just never feel like the thing is doing really, really well. And I had that many times. So
yeah.
Yeah, I remember when you were on the R6 and you were and when you had Josh Hayes come in and then you were working with Olin's and trying to figure out the front end of that bike.
Yeah.
So I remember that.
Yeah, we've had a few times where we're just like, what is wrong right now?
Yeah, you're like, why am I here when I know I should be there?
Yeah, I mean, you feel like you're riding super, super, super fast, and you're on the limit. And with the way that you're riding and the way that the bike is set up, you can't really go any faster.
Yeah,
you have to adjust things to be able to get there. Right. Like you can't ride the bike any harder, and it's really frustrating to be there.
I got a question.
Yeah.
So Rocco, as a high level racer, what do you look at when you're watching a race? That's what I want to know.
What do you mean?
Watching
another race?
Yeah, watching another race. You're watching a GP race or a Moto2 race.
And everyone's front end.
Okay.
That's it.
Just to see.
Everyone's front end and where they're getting the bike pivoted usually.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I was going to ask those same questions to Gagne and Peterson if they jumped in here.
It's wherever. I mean, it changes from race to race. It's usually... Who looked to be riding physically the hardest?
Mm-hmm.
Who is making the most mistakes? Like, if we're being more specific, who's making the most mistakes? Who's having to who's struggling? Who's losing time where?
Right.
And who, front ends, you can tell so much by the way someone's front end is moving. Like when I watched Mark going in every lap and he was like that, I knew the thing was kind of chattering going in. He was starting to low line. I was like, dude.
Well, they were talking about how his brakes were all jacked up. Like
that wouldn't surprise me.
Where he was going in and it looked like he was coming from way back and he was dive bombing everybody where his brakes weren't really working, which was causing him to just go right into the corner. And then
because he started low lining and I was like, he is pushing so hard, right? Because you low line when you start to charge corners.
Little perspective from Rocco there.
Yeah, I love it.
Wow.
I love it. That's why I like talking.
Gotta make note of that shit.
What?
I said I gotta make note of that.
Oh.
So, I did some lap time analysis, Rocco.
Was not good.
Dude, lap time analysis is crazy because, perspective, you look at Moto America Superbike and you've got, you Jake Gagne guy that just ruins everybody and has for a couple years, three-time champ. Dude, he qualified on pole last year at Superbike at COTA with a 208 something, So, yeah, he won the race at a 208. He won the race one with 208.586, but he set pole at a 208.169. Dude, the Moto2 bikes, Eric Kinnett went 207.631.
Those things just handle, man. I mean, you watch the way they ride. Like
too flat, dude.
Yeah, too flat.
Yeah, and Moto 3, I want to say the best Moto 3 time was somewhere around a 14.5. Kyle did a 14.9? Something? I can't remember.
Kyle did a 14.890.
Okay, yeah. And then I think my best time of the weekend was a 16.9 in warm up on Saturday.
Yeah.
But that was annoying too because my predictor on my lap time had me rolling at a 16.4, but I blew the corner off the back straight.
Damn.
That would have been not a great lap, but it would have been a decent lap for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, what do you think of that? The middleweight bike, the Moto2 bike going faster than the Superbike.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, really? You look at the top speeds, what kind of top speeds are
a buck 70 something.
Okay, so what's Gagne's top speed at COTA last year?
Probably close to 200.
Moto2 top speed was 179. Now, the top speed, with no draft, Garcia was going 176 every lap.
Right.
And Joe was at about 173.
Right.
But
in the corners, they're
so exactly. I mean, they're you watch them go in, especially Moto 2 specifically, because they're because the Moto 3 bikes with the way that they work and how light they are, you almost have to ride in a super bike. You watch them, they low line, stop it, shoot out. The Moto 2 bikes almost carry more roll speed than the Moto 3 bikes. It looks like I could be entirely wrong.
They look like they were getting away with a lot of that low line stuff that we were talking about because,
yeah.
I saw a couple times, like the turn one pass is so gnarly, low lining that
in Moto 2 or Moto 3?
Moto 2.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And they were making it work, dude.
Yeah, again, like, but those things have so much bottom end, too. Like, when I talked to Cameron, like, I spoke to him very briefly after he first tested the Moto 2 bike when he went there in 2020. Yeah. That bike, he said that it has almost the same bottom end as the R1 did.
Jeez.
Because it's a 675, so it's a triple. So the top end's not all there, but it's a lot of bottom and mid-range. And with the way those things are built, like, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean.
I think they have the power-up kit, too, because
yeah.
You said the power-up kit.
Yeah, it is. That's what it's called. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. But they're very smooth with the way they ride. Like I said, like they're not necessarily like carrying roll speed, but they almost look like they are just because of like how like those bikes don't really have any electronic aids to speak about. And
mine rolls pretty good.
What?
I got a Daytona.
Yeah.
And it I love it. It's
very you got a smooth. Daytona, but the engine's not in a GP chassis.
So uh-huh. It's not in a, yeah, exactly.
No, it's the engine. I love the engine. The engine's really nice and smooth.
Yeah, so, but sure. Coda is a acceleration track more than anything. Is that like the first sector you carry a bit of roll speed? Once you get out of the turn onto the back straight, it's just acceleration after that. Like going, it's figuring out how to get the bike pointed to where you can get on the throttle, and that's why it doesn't surprise me the times that from the Moto 2 races they have close to the same acceleration of a super, maybe not close to it, but they have acceleration.
Yeah.
And they like think about how early they can get on the throttle with how well those things handle.
Yeah.
So right, they're doing that so much quicker than the super bikes are just because the chassis are better.
Yeah.
Like you can set a super bike up as fast as
possible. Does it. Super bike does it, but the electronics just like.
Yeah, because the chassis doesn't have the ability to get the power down like a Moto 2 bike chassis does.
Right.
Right. Yeah, mechanical.
So what do you think of fellow American podium?
That was amazing. I was watching that in HJZ. That was an awesome race to watch. I will say I was a little upset when I saw him go off there, but he gathered himself back up so quick.
Dude. Oh, and he did. He gathered himself up, but then it looked like he was kind of running dude down.
He was.
Too.
He was.
Oh, he what? For sure. He caught him from three. I want to say it was somewhere around 3 seconds with like four to go, and it was 0.8 over the line or something.
Lower. That was like half a second over the line.
Was it?
Yeah.
Maybe I was looking at the last thing. I was in the HJC booth or whatever.
Yeah.
0.898 like with one lap to go, and then he was hunting them down, and then
he was doing good.
Yeah.
His last lap was like a second faster.
Yeah,
Sergio blew a corner and he slowed down at the last couple corners. He slowed down, so he made it. He didn't want to push too hard.
I'm not gonna lie. When I saw, because I saw Audier coming mid race, and with like I was like, dude, Audier's coming. I figured he at that point like,
dude, he had a scrap too, right?
But he passed Joe. Joe got him back.
Oh yeah.
Or did he pass Joe before Joe? I can't remember.
No,
before Joe went off.
No, he didn't.
No,
because he caught him and then stuck there. And I was like, dude, he's going to throw a shot soon. But then the next lap, like through the first sector, Joe was so good getting through those S's.
Yeah, I mean, that dude definitely had a scrap, like with his team.
Yeah.
Alonso.
Like, oh, with Alonso, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Lopez.
Yeah.
It was good.
Garcia did a good job. Even like he would be making those mistakes, but he made that happen.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, he did.
Leading the whole race. He led the whole
race. Yeah, I mean, it's not like way to gather himself up. Like it's so easy to do that there because you're coming downhill. It's bumpy. It's sketchy. Like you get into the left. It's like, it's so easy to overshoot that corner. Like, my God.
Coming over the hill, coming down and then into.
Yeah, going down the hill into the tight, like the one that he kept overshooting.
Yeah, and 11, yeah.
And then I guess, you know, even though Ricky Bobby doesn't like talk about Moto 3, like how about
that is not it. No, we just talked about not having to watch as much racing.
Okay,
and we're like, well, if we're going to jump a class, it'll be Moto 3.
After the first couple of laps or whatever, and my wife got put to sleep by the drone of the Moto 3 bike noise, right?
I think they sound good.
Yeah. So, dude, like that class, like the first couple laps, how many guys ended up on their face? So gnarly.
I didn't even watch it. I started watching because I was walking over to Revzilla to their like booth. And then I ended up, because they didn't have the TV there, so I ended up going to Revit next door. And I chilled there with a couple of my rider support guys from Revit. We just watched the race. And that was because I started watching right as Colin started to catch up to David, and I thought he was gonna get him until he crashed. Like I think he was if he hadn't gone down. But that was a gnarly. I said that's a fast spot, especially on one of those bikes.
Yeah, and then, I mean, obviously, I think the highlight reel was the Ortola thing where
he jumped.
Yeah, I talked to him after the race. Like,
really? I mean, it's like, you know, you see what's the other guy's name? I forget.
It was who was it? Oh my god, I'm drawing a blank.
Like, I had it in my notes too. I was like, what?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. I can't remember. Whatever it was, I was in the hospitality and he walks by because I raced with him for years.
Yeah.
Like we were on 85s together. Ortola, and then we were in the Rookies Cup together.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
Ortola? Yeah, with Ortola. And he pull over and I hadn't seen him in forever. So I'm like, yo. And he comes over and he's like, dude. I was like, bro, that was kind of hilarious. But he was like disaster. Like he was I mean, yeah.
You could see the one dude.
But it doesn't surprise me. That's an easy mistake. He rates for that.
You could see the dude running towards him, and then they cut the feed to some other camera angle, and we're like, mm-hmm. Is the dude gonna go fight the guy? What the
fuck? No, they showed it.
No, he just got. But he raced for MTA last year or the year before. Last year, yeah.
Yeah. So like, then they cut back. They're like, oh, he just goes up to him. And is like, dude, that's my bike.
Yeah, he just is like, hey,
he's like, oh my god, that was pretty, not to say funny, but that was a little funny.
I mean, it was kind of funny. Like,
I can totally see me doing that any day.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Like, no question. Like in the heat of the moment, you're not thinking about anything. You just see a bike go, and it like vaguely looks like a bike that you ride, or even a bike because he just signed with the MT Helmet team. This is his first year, I think. So, like, I could easily see him just kind of having all that adrenaline and seeing that bike going, okay, my bike.
Yeah, because I probably
brain recognized the river delivery.
The race.
What was it?
Ortola crashed twice in the race.
Did he? Because I didn't see that until I saw it on Instagram after the race.
Yeah.
Because I started watching, like I said, maybe 9 laps to go.
Yeah, so I guess I'm kind of like glancing, and I'm seeing comments come in, and people are talking shit. Ricky Bobby's talking shit. That's why he's not talking. He's not talking because he's too busy reading the comments.
Are there a lot of comments?
I mean, there's some. I mean, there's not a lot.
I like hearing comments. Read comments.
Yeah. So okay.
Read Daniela's because she wants her big brain question asked.
Yeah, she says, for the kid, have you changed anything for preparing mentally and physically for the season?
No.
You're a liar. You've lost a bunch of weight, you fucker.
Nah, I don't know. I was just riding my supermoto bike more. I mean, I flew in at 2 a.m. and I was at the supermoto track all day.
Yeah. So, I mean, look at it. Okay, first of all, look at his fucking jawline. Does he look like a linebacker anymore? No, he doesn't. You know why? Because he's fit now. That's why. See that? Boom. There you go, Daniela. That jawline thing.
I mean, you can't judge a book by its cover, but I mean, I do work super. I mean, I'm not going to say I work super hard because I don't say that, but like I do work. Like
writing is
work. I try to ride at least 2 times a week.
Yeah.
And then I run often, but I mean, it's all about just growing up. I mean, whenever you start to, like, it's an environment change. Like, I'm living by myself now. I'm just doing my own thing. Not a lot of pressure. My team has been awesome to me. They have made the environment as good as it can possibly get with the, when it comes to like stress wise. Like I have no stress. My
paycheck's my gonna crew help, chiefs, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not worried about making it to races ever.
Yeah.
Like I'm not, nothing is ever gray. It's always black or white. Like this is happening or this is not happening. And I know well in advance. My crew chief and my mechanic, like I get along super well with both of my mechanics, and my crew chief is a old flat track. Like his name's Steve. He's so awesome. He has so much of like just old data that's just stored in there. That's like, dude, it's so useful. Whenever you have someone who can like he thinks about setup, not just like, but he also like, he listens like a lot. I've dealt with crew chiefs and data guys that are just like, okay, data says this, like Steve will it's present so cool. something, but he wants to explain why that is what we need to do.
Dude.
And he wants to hear an argument back. That's why like my team is so easy to work with.
I'm hearing you say this. I literally, I have it premiering tomorrow. I'm premiering a video tomorrow with Corndog.
With Corndog?
And he's saying a lot of the same shit that you're saying right now. And I'm like mind blown right now. Like
I'm saying it about who?
Oh, just about being an active listener and having to listen to what the writer says rather than try to force some kind of setup on them.
Well, yeah. I mean, if there's something obvious on the data, like chances are I'm probably going to back that up with stuff that we're dealing with. And like with this Suzuki, it's also new. We're figuring it out. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's totally different, dude. You're like, you kind of came up with GP bikes, right? And then, then you raced the crappy budget bikes for a little bit. And then, fancy Twins Cup bikes, and 600s, like you know. So,
you have to develop with the bike.
Yeah.
Because you have a starting point. And you only have so much ability on the bike, and then as you progress,
for sure,
the bike changes and you change with the bike, and it's the crew chief that kind of keeps you together with the momentum moving forward.
Exactly. That's away. The thing. Like every session we started at Daytona on the Suzuki, we had a different setup,
right?
Than the previous, and we made it. Some changes were minimal, some changes were drastic, like huge wholesale changes.
Yeah,
and. It all ended up working. Like the bike I had in race two was the best bike I raced all weekend, and the results showed. Like my race two time, like my race two time was, I want to say, 15 seconds faster than my race one time overall.
Okay.
So over 9 laps, I was 15 seconds faster than I was in race one, and my race two time would have put me. I believe I would have been. If like Gus went faster in race two as well. Which is to be expected because everyone makes progress like that.
Yeah.
But my race two time wasn't too much. It was, I want to say, a little less than a second off of his race one time. So if I'd have had my race in race two that I had in race one, I would have been there.
So are you kind of growing into the Harley fan base thing? Are you like, are you digging it? Digging? Because the response to the fans, the Harley fans are different, right? Or
it's a different clientele.
Totally different vibe.
Yeah. Like, are you doing like, you know, Harley dealer events type stuff?
Supposed to in Austin. We were supposed to go to the Cowboy Harley thing. Hayden ended up going to that, and I went to a Cycle Gear.
Oh, okay.
For a bike night, but yeah, at Daytona we went to we did an autograph session at the at all the tents. Like Harley had a huge setup for bike week and it was really cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, like I'm growing into it, I should say.
Are you going to Sturgis?
Sturgis?
Yeah.
I am considering it.
Dude, it really depends. Harley's for a living, bro. Like you gotta go to Sturgis.
You gotta go now.
Right?
They gotta get you a bike. Vance and Hines has to get you a little
dude. You should like have a like a custom painted Harley.
Like, I'd rather have a Suzuki that I can go that I can go like just ride at the kart track. That'd be fun. Wow. Imagine a GSX-8 at a kart track. How fun would that be? That thing's front end is so good. Oh my god.
Really?
Yeah.
Compared to the Aprilia?
I wouldn't say the way that the front and rear ends work, it's different. All in all, it's just a little more balanced on the Suzuki, like just geometry wise. like I compare the GSX 8 maybe to an RC 390.
Okay.
Like the way that it just kind of feels, like the front's really planted. It feels good.
Hmm. How about
like Rocco offering like insight and perspective that none of us get to see because I don't ride anything but Yamahas. So
such a company man you are.
Yeah.
How about those Pirellis, man?
Yeah.
They were
dude, how about that? Pirelli broke lap records in Moto 3 and Moto 2 at COTA this weekend, right?
Yeah. Yamanaka said the front tire is really good on those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He came by on, I want to say, Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday, yeah. He came by the rig and, like, I was curious. That was one thing I was curious about. I was like, what's the difference between, it's like, they're, you can go in a little deeper, is what he said.
Really?
Yeah.
I was curious about that too, because like, you know, when Pirelli took over World Superbike 20 plus years ago, it took them a little bit to go quicker than the Michelins, right? So
yeah,
you know, to take over a series and like already breaking the lap records, that's crazy.
Yeah, but they have so much data. I mean, Pirelli's everywhere.
Yeah.
They're even doing Formula One, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, Moto 3 is a different class. Moto 2.
I've actually never run Pirelli, so I cannot speak from experience at all.
No?
But, yeah.
Hmm. Well, you're not in that class, so, like, it doesn't matter to you, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Like, what do you guys run, which Dunlops do you run on those?
I don't know exactly. I want to say they're similar to Superbike ones, if not the same.
Which Dunlops are you running on the Bagger? Like, what are you running? Like a hard? Or like, what is it?
I don't know.
I
don't even know. It depends on the track.
So at COTA, like, were you running like an R8 or were you running like a 5 or a 7?
It was not an R5.
Okay.
So those are two soft.
I mean, you almost got to ride the hard fucking tire, right? Like, no,
yeah, so in general, because the thing squats so much, so it just uses tires. So much of the tire at once.
So they haven't made specific Bagger tires yet?
I don't even know, honestly.
Well, they used the Q5s or whatever last year.
Usually how it works is I just pick one of the two between, like, usually we have like two available, and I usually pick one of the two depending on the session, and we'll talk about it with my team and come with some form of tire strategy for the whole weekend using allotment.
You know, we're getting close to wrap time on this. Rocco, what's your master plan for Road Atlanta this weekend?
Dominate.
That's for me to know and you to find out.
Oh, shut the fuck up, dude.
I think he said FAFO.
He's going to fuck around and find out? Is that?
Nah. You ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually parents say that when they're trying to hide money from you, but
you know, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. He's got this you know what it is, dude? The stash that Rocco's got right now, it's like the Addams Family, dude. Like
The stash,
right?
I haven't seen that.
What's his name? Was it Gomez?
Gomez Adams, yeah.
Dude, he's got a Gomez Adams stash, bro.
Well, what's
in the comments?
Do we like it? What do we think? Should I keep it again?
You got the jiggy hair going too.
I mean,
now.
You are racing a Harley, bro. You got to have some facial
hair. I think it suits the vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you gonna get some soul glow or maybe what? Like
you got to go full mullet.
I texted Jiggy about what
I will literally never have a mullet as long as I live.
What?
I will never have a mullet as long as I live. But I can make it look like a mullet. Look.
He's not old enough yet.
There you
he's
go.
He's not old enough. Wait till he's about 25 and then he's going to be down for the mullet.
He's got that going for Yeah.
Mullet.
Yeah, there you go. See?
He's got the Gomez Adams stash.
Yeah.
Yep.
Crank up the country music. Maybe a little Jerry Jones.
How about this Moto hat, though? Isn't he sick? Oh, my God.
It is a nice hat.
I mean, it does have, like, the whatever that is.
It's like a podium hat.
Yeah. It's got that stuff on the top. What do they call that?
Greets.
I'm sure John Ridey in the comments is going to say that he's going to call those scrambled eggs, because that's what
I think they're called reefs.
Reefs, right? Yeah, there you go.
Reefs, yeah.
No, but the old guys call them scrambled eggs.
These,
right?
Hey, so what is your prediction for the Superbike races this weekend?
Yeah, who's your pick?
Zero predictions.
Listen to this guy, dude. He's like all business, like no shit talking. He got a memo.
Yeah, I'll say a little bit of my thoughts with the World Championship because I'm not involved with that.
Well, but you're not involved. You don't have a gun in the Superbike fight, right?
I race Moto America, and I want to be there soon.
Well, you're going to be racing against those guys. Okay, so who do you think's going to win? Who's your top three?
It's hard to bet against Jake.
That's a good answer.
Obviously, I mean, the grid is so stacked this year. It's right? Like same as Super Sport. Yeah. Same as Packers and same as Twins. I mean, you can't bet against any of those guys. I mean,
Jake, you got Campy, who's looking pretty healthy and testing.
Yeah, I saw him at Coda. Like, he looked great.
You got number two. You got Baz.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
Campy.
Fonger.
You have Cam Beaubier, Sean Dillon Kelly, who just fresh came from Moto 2.
Right.
And Jiggy Dog. Like, I don't know a whole lot about what, like, how his deal with Moto 2 was, but he was no slouch.
No, dude.
I mean, I raced against him in 21 all year. Dude is fast as hell.
He was working his way up. He
started JD Beach is back.
Yep, JD Beach is back.
JD Beach is back.
I mean, how many guys could win that race? You have Baz. Baz for sure could win that race. Aaron, Gagne, Beaubier, Peterson, Sean, JD. There's seven guys who could win that race.
Yeah.
Who could win, and it would not surprise me at all.
I mean, you didn't mention SDK either. Like,
yeah, he did.
I think I did. Did I not?
Yeah, he did. He did.
I think I did.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Sean?
Yeah.
Okay. I had to go back to count a different
page. Yeah, I would not. Like, those are the, like, any one of those guys could win, and I would not even remotely be surprised. Sorry, it's getting a little dark outside.
And we'll see where Richie comes in on this too.
Oh, yeah. and Richie too. Like, you did on the podium.
I mean, we left out the Suzukis but
yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. Like, Richie, Brandon's gonna do well.
Yeah, yeah, right on, man. Well, Rocco, dude, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man.
It's getting dark at where you are.
Yeah, no worries.
See you this weekend.
Yeah, I won't videotape you at all this weekend. Okay.
Oh shoot. Bro, no, I had so many messages after that got posted. Oh my god!
Sorry.
My phone. It looked like my phone was like Hiroshima, bro. Just got new
Hiroshima.
Well, I got a talking to for my buddy, at the shop, and he was.
What,
like,
did I miss?
You know better. You are starting to get in with the in crowd, and you're there today. You can't be doing that. I'm like, oh, I'm
dude.
Sorry.
Oh my god.
But you were so cool about it.
I'm confused. I'm feeling FOMO over here. I don't know what the fuck I'm missing.
Well, basically, my first day on the bagger, he was at that track day at Roebling.
Okay.
And he posted a photo on, like, TDJ.
Okay.
And it just went like.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like messages left and right. I was like, I didn't even know what to say. I usually just didn't even, like, I wouldn't even open the message.
No, dude, you were super cool about it because you're like, okay. Hey, man, like.
Please take that down.
Take that down. I think Terry's gonna kick my ass. And I was like, yeah, no worries. And then he came back. You're like, don't worry about it. It's fine. So
you already got your one way conversation.
Yeah, like, I'd already got enough messages at that point. I was like, you know what? It's not even worth my time.
Wow, man.
Like, well, I was like,
Rocco, dude.
Seriously. So many people had shared it too. I was like, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take that one on the chin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you're good.
Wow.
Hey, man. Okay. Well, have a great weekend coming up, dude. Kick some butt, and we'll be watching on TV. And
yeah, thanks for joining us on the weekend hangover, man. Yeah, man.
No worries. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much.
Yeah,
good talking to you guys.
Weekend too.
Yeah. Are you gonna be there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, all right. Well, I'll see you then.
Going out there to pick up my dad, dude. Like, my dad's coming with to Road Atlanta.
My dad might come to Road America.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Oh yeah.
All right,
man. All right, boys.
See you guys. Thanks for watching this stuff, everybody. See you. Bye.